Imagine for a second, handing the keys to your company's customer service portal directly to a highly enthusiastic, incredibly confident teenager who has, like, absolutely never read your company handbook.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that sounds like a total nightmare.
Right. They are just out there firing off emails, making up return policies on the fly, and, just hoping for the best.
Yeah, totally unsupervised.
Exactly. And while it sounds crazy for a staggering number of businesses right now, that is exactly what they are doing with artificial intelligence. So welcome to the deep dive. Today is June 11th, 2026, and we are not looking at a polished public relations approved book today.
No, we definitely are. We have our hands on something entirely different, a leaked behind the scenes IT playbook.
Yeah, which is super exciting.
It really is. It is rare we get to see the actual machinery of how these tech consulting firms operate internally. What we are looking at is an SEO and content roadmap designed for an IT firm out in Orange County called Technigian.
Technigian, right.
Yeah. And it is titled Implementing Gemini AI, a Roadmap for Orange County Businesses.
So we aren't just looking at the glossy brochure they hand to clients. We're looking at the exact step-by-step playbook they use to coach their own sales and service teams.
The internal blueprint.
Exactly. This is the blueprint for how they convince executives to, stop treating Google's Gemini AI like a shiny new toy and turn it into something governed, measurable, and most importantly, safe.
Right, because right now it is definitely not safe for a lot of them.
No, it's not. And the mission for us today is to extract the highly practical, real-world advice hiding inside this document. Because if you were listening to this right now, whether you were running a massive department or just trying to manage a small team, you are likely dealing with the exact chaos this document is trying to solve.
For sure, you're feeling the pain.
So let's look at the baseline problem Technigian has identified. They call it the Wild West of AI adoption.
Yeah, and the phrasing in the document is very specific here. They point out that the roadblock for businesses isn't a lack of access to tools. I mean, the tools are everywhere.
Right, everyone has an AI subscription now.
Exactly. The roadblock is, quote, AI experimentation without approved use cases, data rules, training, or measurable business outcomes.
Wow. Okay, so it's the shadow IT problem, just on steroids.
Oh, massive steroids.
You have employees trying to save time, so they just start feeding sensitive company spreadsheets into random language models, or they use unapproved tools to draft client emails.
Which is exactly where your teenager analogy comes in.
Yeah, but honestly, maybe a better one is letting those teens loose in a commercial kitchen without a recipe.
I like that.
You've given them state-of-the-art appliances, the sharpest knives, the hottest stoves, but without a recipe or basic safety rules, they aren't making a Michelin star meal.
No, they are just going to start a grease fire.
Exactly. They're going to burn the place down.
And that captures the friction perfectly. When employees use these tools in a vacuum, nobody knows what data is safe to share. Leadership is entirely in the dark about what is actually being automated, and you have zero quality control.
But wait, I want to challenge the premise here for a second.
Okay, go for it.
If an employee is using AI to write emails without asking their boss, that sounds to me like a classic management failure. Why is an IT firm writing a massive playbook to solve what is essentially a human resources issue? Like, is it really a technological problem?
Well, it becomes a technological problem the second it hits the customer.
Okay, how so?
The source document addresses this connection beautifully, actually. It explicitly ties this AI governance issue to their internal marketing calendar. There is a specific note tying this whole initiative to something they call a W18 conversion optimization.
Okay, stop right there because I do not have the decoder ring for
Yeah.
this firm. What is W18 and what does conversion optimization mean in the context of someone misusing AI?
Right, sorry. So W18 just stands for week 18 of their internal corporate strategy timeline.
Okay, that makes sense.
But the conversion optimization piece is the critical mechanism here. Conversion optimization is the process of turning a website visitor into a paying customer.
Right, getting them to actually buy.
Exactly. The document makes the argument that when you have that rogue, unmanaged AI usage internally, the damage always leaks out to the digital experience.
I see. Give me an example of that leak. What does that actually look like?
Let's say your sales team uses an unapproved AI tool to generate proposals, and it hallucinates a feature you don't actually offer.
Oh, yikes.
Right. Or it generates slow, robotic-sounding responses to customer inquiries. The text notes that this careless usage causes inconsistent proof, poor digital experiences, and unclear trust signals.
Unclear trust signals.
Yeah, because customers are incredibly sensitive to AI right now. If your digital presence feels sloppy or automated in a careless way, those subtle trust signals drop.
And when trust drops, the customer bounces to a competitor.
Yeah.
So your conversion rate just plummets.
Precisely. The IT firm has to fix the management of the tool, because if they don't, the tool itself becomes a liability that destroys organic visibility and lead generation.
So you cannot optimize your conversion rate if your own employees are accidentally sabotaging the customer experience.
Exactly. You can't outmarket a bad, ungoverned customer experience.
Okay, so the kitchen is on fire, the customers can smell the smoke, and the business is actively losing leads. How does this roadmap suggest a company actually establish a recipe to tame this chaos?
They lay out a highly disciplined three-phase implementation remedy. And phase one is something that usually frustrates tech enthusiasts because it feels so slow.
Slow how?
Well, phase one is to start narrow with low-risk workflows. You have to document the current baseline, train the users, and thoroughly review for accuracy and privacy before you scale anything.
Oh, man. I can hear the collective groan of every ambitious manager listening to this right now.
Oh, I know. It sounds tedious.
Right. Because we are talking about artificial intelligence in 2026. The mm-hmm. whole promise of this technology is massive industry-disrupting speed. Why start small and narrow?
Because of the risk.
But if a team has a workflow that takes them 10 hours a week, and Gemini can do it in 10 seconds, what happens if they just skip documenting that boring baseline and jump straight to the automation?
If you skip the baseline, you are corrupting your own ability to prove success later.
What do you mean?
Think about it like tuning a car engine. Let's say you install a brand new air intake, and the engine suddenly sounds much louder and more aggressive.
Okay.
If you never put that car on a dynamometer to test its original horsepower before you started tinkering, you have no idea if the car is actually faster.
No, it just sounds faster.
Exactly. You might have actually lost horsepower, but you feel like you're going faster because it's making a lot of noise.
And in the business context, the louder engine is just the excitement of using a shiny new AI tool.
Spot on. The source text emphasizes that, without a baseline, a team will have a nearly impossible time proving to leadership if the improvement actually worked.
Because you can't compare it to anything.
Right. How do you measure human speed versus AI speed fairly if you never formally documented how long the human took in the first place?
You can't.
Exactly. So the output of phase one must be a documented improvement. It cannot just be a recommendation or a team meeting where everyone agrees the new tool is neat.
So you have to prove, objectively, that the process went from taking 4 hours down to 30 minutes with zero increase in error rates.
Yes. And that rigorous documentation is the absolute only way to move into phase two, which is adding measurement.
What are we measuring in phase two?
You start tracking concrete metrics like response time, risk reduction, or the volume of support tickets. And the text highlights a crucial requirement here. You have to assign someone to respond if the metric moves in the wrong direction.
I really love that detail. It forces you to acknowledge that AI is not magic. It can degrade performance over time.
Oh, absolutely. Model drift is a real thing.
Right. A language model might get a back-end update that suddenly makes its outputs less accurate for your specific use case. If nobody is watching the gauges, you'll just crash.
Which naturally leads right into phase three, which is standardizing ownership. The document states that standardizing who owns the tool is how this transitions from a one-time science fair project into a repeatable operating habit.
But, you know, knowing you need to measure outcomes is entirely different from knowing how to secure the budget to do it.
That is the million-dollar question.
Literally, in some cases. When you have a baseline and an owner, how do you actually measure success in a way that justifies the budget to the CFO? Because I imagine a lot of companies are wasting a ton of money here.
They are. And the text explicitly calls out a massive pitfall. Companies fall into measuring activity instead of outcomes.
Measuring activity. So patting yourself on the back for simply doing things rather than achieving things.
Yes, exactly. The roadmap points out that publishing a new web page, buying a shiny new AI subscription, or holding a quarterly planning meeting about AI, none of those things equal success.
They're just checklist items.
Right. They are just activities.
It's the corporate equivalent of buying a wildly expensive set of dumbbells, leaving them on the living room floor, and then tracking the amount of time you spend in the same room as them.
That is a perfect analogy.
Like, well, I spent 4 hours near the gym equipment today. I must be getting healthier. No, you are measuring proximity and activity. True success metrics are actual weight lost or muscle gained.
And in the context of this roadmap, true success metrics look like improved conversion rates, cleaner operational reporting, and better search visibility.
Real business metrics.
Exactly. Did the AI implementation actually make the business easier to run? Did it remove friction for the customer? Those are the outcomes that matter.
So if an executive is looking at their AI budget and they're surrounded by vendors pitching them 100 different tools, how does this roadmap advise they separate the actual necessities from the distractions?
Well, the document provides a very clear filtering mechanism for budgeting. It demands that you separate urgent fixes from maturity improvements.
Okay, break that down for me.
Sure. Urgent fixes are the immediate fires things involving security, data compliance, or a severe drop in the customer experience.
Like employees leaking data.
Yes. Those get funded first, no question. Maturity improvements, on the other hand, are the longer-term structural plays, like better operational reporting or deeper complex automation.
But even with that filter, you still have to pry the money out of leadership's hands. Does the document give the sales team a strategy for that actual conversation?
It does, and it gives them a brilliant framing question. When asking for budget, the primary question to ask the business leader is, what is the cost of inaction?
The cost of inaction, wow. Walk me through how that changes the conversation in the room.
Instead of pitching the shiny benefits of the tool, you know, talking about how fast it is, you force the leader to look at the baseline problem we talked about earlier.
The Wild West problem.
Right. You ask them, if we leave this unapproved rogue AI usage completely unresolved for another quarter, what happens?
Oh, that is a tough question to answer.
Exactly. Will you lose another 5% of your leads because your digital trust signals are eroding? Will your employees leak proprietary data to a public server? By asking what the cost of inaction is, you make the budget decision entirely objective.
It removes the hype. It is no longer a conversation about whether AI is cool or trendy. It's a conversation about whether the business can afford the damage of unmanaged AI.
Exactly. And the text reminds the consultants that they don't need to promise perfection to win the budget.
Really?
Yeah. The strongest signal of success for a mature operation is controlled progress. If a team can explain what changed, why it changed, and how they verified the outcome, that is a massive victory in the current landscape.
Okay, so we've established that internally, a business needs strict rules, documented baselines, and a relentless focus on outcomes over activity. But realistically, a company rarely builds this entirely on their own.
Right, they usually hire an outside partner.
Exactly. And this brings us back to the meta layer of our source text. This document isn't just an objective guide. It's a blueprint for Technegian to position itself as the ultimate partner for these businesses in Orange County.
Spot on. The whole document is designed to align their internal teams so they can project absolute authority to potential buyers.
And how do they do that?
A huge part of that authority is teaching businesses how to structure their own internal alignment. The roadmap insists that a successful AI implementation requires two distinct owners, a business owner and a technical or marketing owner.
Okay, why the split? Why not just have the IT director run the whole thing and be done with it?
Because the IT director understands the how, but they might not understand the why.
Ah, I see.
The business owner is responsible for defining why adopting Gemini actually matters to the bottom line. The technical owner defines how it gets integrated securely.
So they balance each other out.
Exactly. If you don't have both, the project either becomes a hyper-technical science experiment that doesn't generate revenue, or a high-level business fantasy that the tech team cannot actually build.
That makes a lot of sense. You need the visionary and the mechanic in the same room.
You absolutely do.
But to ensure those two are actually building something safe, the document emphasizes grounding their recommendations incredible external standards. And it specifically cites two, right?
Yes. The Google Workspace Gemini Overview and the NIST AI Risk Management Framework.
Okay, the NIST framework is the heavy hitter there. Mm-hmm. NIST stands for the National Institute of Standards and Technology.
Right, a federal agency.
So why does an IT firm in Orange County care about a federal institute's framework? How does mapping to that actually help a local business?
It changes the entire nature of the risk. Think about it. If a local IT firm just makes up their own safety rules for AI and something goes wrong, say a massive data breach, the liability is huge because the process was totally subjective.
They just guessed.
Right. By mapping their implementation to the NIST framework, Technegian is shifting the conversation from subjective opinions to a federally recognized standard for risk management.
Oh, that's smart.
Very smart. They're telling the client, we aren't just guessing here. We are applying the same rigorous structure used by enterprise corporations to keep your data safe. It builds massive trust.
That is a brilliant way to answer a buyer's anxiety before they even express it. But there's another rule in here about partner accountability that I found fascinating, and I actually want to push back on it a bit.
Okay, let's hear it.
The text has a strict rule for the IT firm's reporting. It states that leadership should not have to, quote, decode technical notes.
Right.
It demands that all reports use plain language to connect the implementation directly to business outcomes. Now, if I am a CEO and I am paying top dollar for an expert IT partner, shouldn't they be handling the complex technical jargon?
You'd think so.
Right. Why is there a strict rule against showing the technical notes to the boss? Isn't the point of outsourcing to not have to worry about the details?
It is a really common instinct to feel that way, but it is incredibly dangerous. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
Imagine an IT partner hands a CEO a monthly report, and the report says, our API call latency is down 200 milliseconds, and the neural network efficiency score is operating at 98%.
I mean, I would nod, smile, and assume everything is going great. Sounds impressive.
Exactly. But an API call latency metric just measures how fast one piece of software talks to another piece of software.
Okay.
The software might be communicating blazingly fast, but if the chatbot is still giving customers the wrong answers, the business is still failing.
Wow. Okay, I see the mechanism there.
Yeah. If the business owner cannot actually understand the metrics in the report, they aren't managing the business impact. They are just blindly trusting a vendor.
The technical jargon creates an illusion of success while completely masking actual business failure.
Yes. If the IT partner only reports on the technology, the AI is still acting as an unmanaged risk. By demanding plain language reporting statements like, we reduce the time it takes to parse an invoice by 2 minutes, saving the accounting team 10 hours a week. Technegian proves they offer operational value, not just software maintenance.
They ensure the CEO can actually make strategic decisions based on the data.
Exactly.
And we actually get to see the mechanics of how Technegian ensures this plain language authority ranks well on search engines. The document includes a 30-day action checklist for the SEO post itself. We get a real peek behind the digital marketing curtain here.
We do, and it is a very stringent checklist. They require the team to confirm the post is indexed by Google, check that the focus key phrases are integrated naturally, and validate the FAQ schema so the content pops up correctly in search results.
Let's translate some of that marketing jargon for a second, because we literally just talked about the importance of plain language.
Good point.
What is an FAQ schema, and why does validating it matter so much?
Right. So an FAQ schema is essentially a piece of hidden code wrapped around the questions and answers on a web page. When you search for something on Google, you know how you often see that box of related questions that you can click to expand?
Yes. The people also ask boxes. I use those all the time.
Exactly. Validating the schema ensures that Google's algorithm perfectly understands the structure of your content, which makes it highly likely that your firm's answer will be featured right at the top of the search results.
So it's a technical mechanism to capture organic authority.
Precisely.
And there's one more item on their checklist. They have to make sure the content targets persona D without duplicating earlier topics.
Hmm.
Who or what is persona D?
In marketing, a persona is a detailed profile of your ideal buyer. We don't have Technegian's full internal directory, obviously, but in B2B tech consulting, persona D is almost always the non-technical decision maker.
Like the CEO.
Right, the CEO or the operations director, the person who cares about budget, risk, and outcomes, not API latency. The whole post is engineered to speak directly to the person holding the purse strings.
Ensuring it doesn't just repeat basic tech tips that a junior developer would search for.
Exactly. It avoids keyword cannibalization by staying hyper-focused on the business leader's pain points.
It is all part of an incredibly connected strategy. They aren't just writing blog posts into the void hoping someone reads them. They are building a web of topical authority designed to capture the exact business leaders feeling the pain of the AI Wild West.
And that connectivity is exactly what they're trying to teach their clients to do with AI. They don't want isolated, random experiments. They want a connected, governed operating habit.
It is a total mirror image.
Yeah.
The rigor they apply to their own marketing strategy is the exact rigor they want their clients to apply to Gemini AI.
It really is.
Well, we have covered an immense amount of ground today from a rather unconventional source document. To distill this all down for you, adopting Gemini, or honestly any AI tool hitting the market right now, is not a one-time software installation.
Not at all.
It is an ongoing operating discipline.
Yeah.
If you want to keep your company's kitchen from burning down, you absolutely must document your human baselines before you automate anything. You have to measure real business outcomes instead of just tracking the activity of buying tools.
Right. Outcomes over activity.
You need dual ownership, a visionary for the why and a mechanic for the how. And you must demand plain language accountability from your IT partners so you can actually manage the business impact.
That structure is the only way to survive the current landscape. But, you know, if we pull back from the immediate tactics of this roadmap and look at where this technology is heading, it raises a really provocative thought.
What's it?
Well, the entire premise of this document is that human standardization, having a person own the documentation, review the baselines, and translate the technical data into plain language, is what prevents AI governance from collapsing.
Right. Human oversight is the safety net.
Exactly. But we know that AI models are becoming increasingly autonomous. They are beginning to update their own capabilities, write their own code integrations, and execute complex workflows at a speed humans can barely comprehend, let alone document.
Wow. The technology is fundamentally moving faster than the typing speed of the person assigned to write the baseline report.
Exactly. So the question becomes, as these tools evolve into truly autonomous agents, will businesses eventually need to employ an entirely separate AI system just to keep track of the governance documentation for all their other AIs?
That is wild to think about.
Is human documentation even a sustainable model in the long run? Or are we rapidly approaching a threshold where the only thing capable of monitoring an AI is another AI?
Which means, eventually, we might have to hand the recipe book over to the very tools that were just starting fires in the kitchen.
We might not have a choice.
Now that is a thought that is going to stick with me. Thank you for joining us as we unpack this roadmap. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.